Chapter 10.
There they are,
Aunt Lorraine cried as Hakeem and Savan walked in the door.
We were worried sick about you. Are you okay?
Mom asked, rushing over to Hakeem.
We're fine,
Hakeem said, gently shrugging away from her. Uncle James tore into the room and glared at his son.
Being a screw-up wasn't enough. Now you're going to drag your cousin into your mess, too?
But, Dad!
Shut your mouth, boy! Uncle James yelled. I told you last time I wasn't playing, and you pushed me. You want to ignore my rules? Then you can get out of my house. Maybe then you'll learn something. You best start packing, he commanded.
Hakeem watched in anger as Savan's fears became true.
Easy, James, Dad said. I'm sorry, but this doesn't concern you. This is between me and my son.
Dad took a step back. The air in the small living room suddenly grew charged like the instant before a lightning strike.
You see, Hakeem,
Savan said, tears in his eyes as he walked toward the stairs.
He don't listen to me.
Wait, Savan,
Hakeem urged, the silence he held for so many months beginning to crack. Everyone in the room turned to him.
Hakeem, you don't have to cover for him,
Mom said, looking at the bruise Hakeem still had on his face from his fight with Savan.
I'm not covering for him,
Hakeem said, struggling to contain the fury in his chest.
All of you, listen to me. You got us all wrong. Savan practically saved my life tonight.
What?
Uncle James asked. Mom turned in surprise.
What are you saying, Hakeem?
Dad said.
All of you been acting like Savan's a criminal, and I'm this perfect person. That's not fair, and it's not true,
Hakeem yelled, his hands shaking with emotion. Everyone gaped as Hakeem recounted the entire week, including his early fears about Savan, the details he hid from his father, and the dramatic events he experienced at the club. All the adults except James reacted in surprise, especially when Hakeem told them about Savan's performance and the incident in the bathroom. Hakeem even mentioned the conversation he and Savan had outside and how much Savan doubted Uncle James would listen to him.
I didn't tell you the whole truth this week because I wasn't sure what it was, but I'm sure now,
Hakeem concluded.
The truth is that Savan isn't doing anything illegal, and if you saw him tonight, you wouldn't be disappointed in him, Uncle James. You'd be proud.
Hakeem, I appreciate what you're trying to do here, but I don't need your advice about how I should raise my son. When you're a parent, you'll understand how hard it is to bring up a child and how you got to make tough decisions. Savan chose to leave the store and disobey me, and he's got to face the consequences of his actions,
Uncle James said sternly.
But Uncle James...
Enough, Hakeem. Stay out of it,
Uncle James barked.
Easy, James, Hakeem's father warned.
Why you gotta be like that, Dad?
Savan demanded, glaring at Uncle James.
Hakeem's telling you the truth, and you still don't want to listen.
No, you are the one that didn't listen. I told you the other day that this was your last chance. I don't want to send you out, but you made a choice, and part of being a man is you gotta live with that choice. Go up and pack your bags,
James ordered. Savan blinked, shook his head, and walked to the stairway. Hakeem felt as if he was watching two massive trains racing into each other, and he was powerless to stop them. His uncle and cousin were completely out of control.
Everyone just stop,
a voice yelled suddenly. Hakeem turned to see Aunt Lorraine step into the center of the living room.
All y'all acting like the kids I teach at school, and I can't stand it no more. I always knew the men in this family were stubborn, but this is ridiculous,
she said, putting her hands on her hips. Uncle James looked surprised, and Savan stopped in his tracks.
Nobody's going anywhere until we figure this out. James, you think Savan is going to be any safer if we kick him out now?
She said, quickly turning to Savan.
And do you think sneaking out in the dark and leaving your father all alone at the store every day is the way to get him to listen to you?
Savan shrugged.
I didn't want to leave him alone, Mom. I told him I could still work in the store part-time, but that I needed time for me and the boys. Tariq's working at the music store, and he got us some gigs or parties this summer. I already saved $300. I told Dad we were making money, but he didn't want to hear it. All he wants to hear about is the store,
Savan said wearily.
Savan, that ain't true, Uncle James replied. Yes, I could use your help, but that's besides the point.
I know two families from church who got boys your age in jail. I know another who lost her son because he was shot outside a club by mistake. I'm not going to let that happen to you. And if I got to be tough, that's what I'm going to do. It ain't because I don't care. It's because I do care.
Yeah, well, you sure got a strange way of showing it,
Savon grumbled.
And so do you, Aunt Lorraine countered. You've been giving us attitude for months now. That hasn't helped anything.
That's because all you do is tell me I should be more like Akeem. It's like you want him around more than me or something. The more you do that, the more I feel like just giving up, you know? Because I'm never going to be like him, the A student, the perfect son.
Savon replied, his voice a mixture of sadness and resentment.
There's no one we love around here more than you, Savon. It's just we thought you'd listen to Hakeem since you wouldn't listen to us,
Aunt Lorraine explained.
You two used to be so close.
Hakeem winced at the mention of his name. He hated how Savon and his parents threw it around at each other like an insult.
Can you all just leave me out of this?
Hakeem cut in, unable to hide his own resentment.
I'm not perfect. Ever since I got here, all of you have thrown me in the middle of your fight, and I've been getting nothing but static from all sides,
Hakeem confessed, forcing back the emotions that formed a huge lump in his throat.
All I know is it ain't easy being out here away from home, but you all keep saying I got my act together. I don't know where you get that. Right now, I'm just trying to survive out here, that's all. The more you all say I'm perfect, the more I want to go home to the people that know me, because none of them would treat me like this.
Hakeem's parents looked surprised at his words. They glanced over at Aunt Lorraine and Uncle James, who just shook their heads as if they were stunned. Savon nodded thoughtfully.
Looks like there's lots of misunderstanding in this family from all of us,
Dad said, rubbing his eyes. It was past 3 a.m.
Yeah, but there's lots of love, too,
Mom added, and the adults in the room nodded. Just then, Charmaine and Charlene walked into the living room, their eyes squinting against the bright lights.
Why is everyone up so late?
Charmaine asked.
We can't sleep because everyone keeps talking,
protested Charlene.
Girls, go back to bed. All of us are going to bed now,
Mom said, leading them to their bedroom.
Amen. Let's sleep on this. We got lots to talk about, but we're not going to solve it all tonight,
Uncle James said.
Do I still gotta leave?
Savon asked.
No, son, I don't want that. I never did. But if you stay, you're gonna have to make some changes around here,
Uncle James said, looking at Aunt Lorraine, who stared at him.
Maybe I do, too, but let's talk about it tomorrow.
Savon sighed as if he had been released from a great burden.
Thanks, Pop,
he said, heading upstairs. Hakeem followed him, exhausted by the day's events.
Cuz, wake up. You got a phone call. I think it's important.
Hakeem was about to roll over and go back to sleep, but Savon's voice was sincere. The hostile edge that had been in it all week was gone. Hakeem sat up, rubbed his eyes, and made his way downstairs. His parents sat at the table, the looks on their faces grave.
Hello? Hakeem, it's me.
The voice snapped him to attention. It was Tara, but she sounded more stressed than he'd ever heard her. She was calling from California.
I can't stay on the phone long, and I got bad news to tell you. Darcy's grandmother died last night.
Hakeem groaned and leaned his head against the wall, his mind flooded with memories of the nice old woman he'd seen each time he visited Darcy. He could almost feel Darcy's loss across the thousands of miles that separated them. If he hadn't moved, he'd be with her this very moment.
Darcy's in real bad shape, Tara continued. She needs you.
I'll be there. I'll figure out a way.
I knew you would, Hakeem,
she said. After he hung up the phone, he explained the situation to his parents.
Hakeem, I know it's important to you, but we don't have that kind of money right now, and we can't ask your aunt and uncle. They've already done too much.
I got money,
a voice said from behind them. It was Savon. He was standing at the bottom of the steps holding his bundle of cash. Everyone turned to him at once in shock.
I've been saving what I make at parties so me and my boys can make a demo CD, but if you pay me back this summer, you can borrow it.
I'll work all summer to pay it back if I have to,
Akeem insisted.
Are you sure about this, Savan?
Dad asked.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, I'm sure, he insisted. He stuck his neck out for me. It's only right that I pay him back.
Thanks, Savan,
Akeem said, grateful for his cousin and the difficult path that finally reconnected them.
I owe you one.
In 1 week, a lifetime can pass. In 1 day, families shatter like glass. In 1 hour, time still moves too fast. In 1 second, we make choices that last. Akeem wrote the words in a new notebook as his airplane touched down. It was the same airport he'd left days ago, but the person who walked through then was not the same one who passed through now. Akeem had gone through a fire and been transformed. As he stepped from the taxi in front of Holy Redeemer Church, Akeem didn't know what he would say to Darcy, but he knew that he belonged at her side with his friends. He spotted Darcy as soon as he entered the church. She was standing before the congregation delivering a powerful tribute to her grandmother, who rested in an open coffin before her. Watching her struggle against tears, Akeem missed Darcy more than ever. He noticed Cooper and Tara nearby, but at the conclusion of the service, he headed straight to Darcy, whose eyes poured tears when she spotted him.
Akeem, I can't believe you're here,
Darcy exclaimed, throwing her arms around him the way she did when they parted.
How?
Tara called and told me what happened, and I wanted to be here for you, Darcy,
Akeem explained, feeling himself drawn to the warmth of her face and the hurt in her eyes. She looked older somehow, as if the 10 days apart had transformed her as much as they had transformed him. Despite the changes, Akeem knew one thing was certain. He loved her like no other.
You look different, Akeem said as they left the church together.
I am different,
Darcy replied, her words passionate and mysterious.
Me too, Darcy,
Akeem thought as he walked hand in hand with her back to the neighborhood he had known all his life. Gazing at the familiar people that had silently gathered around them in support, Akeem felt a powerful and unrelenting voice stir in his soul.
This is where I belong, the voice said. This is my home.
When Akeem arrived back in Detroit 2 days later, a strange package sat on his bed.
That was in the mailbox for you,
Savan said on his way out.
I'm going to the store to help Dad. While you were gone, we made a deal. I work in the store 3 days a week. He comes to see me and the boys rap at this block party on July 4th. I still can't believe he's going to show up, but I heard him say it.
Cool,
Akeem exclaimed.
Maybe I'll play my guitar, too.
Let's not get crazy, cuz,
Savan said with a playful smirk.
Oh, one other thing. The cops finally busted them thieves the other night. I'm still going to try and convince Dad to get that Roddy. Later,
he said. Akeem examined the package. It had no return address. He shook it several times and then tore it open. Inside was his notebook, a bit more tattered than when he had last seen it. He leafed through the pages and saw that everything was intact. But on the last page, there was a note he'd never seen before.
Dear Akeem, by the time you read this, I will be long gone. The state people took my grandma like I told you they would. I just couldn't go to a foster home, not even for 6 months. I hope you understand. Before you got here, I was mixed up in some things with Rasul and his crew. It's why Savan and I broke up 2 years ago. Rasul's been causing trouble for a while now, mostly breaking into stores around the way. I even helped his crew a few times, holding money for them. I know it was stupid, and I'm not proud of what I did. But I've been trying to get out of that for a long time. Then you came along, and when Rasul started making plans to hit your uncle's store, I had to end it. When I called the police and told them everything, I knew I was making things right, but I got scared too. If he found out who turned him in, Rasul would do everything he could to make me sorry. Another reason to run. I meant what I said to you the other day. I wish I met you sooner. Don't forget our kiss. I won't. Where I'm going isn't far from Bluford High School. If you ever come back, maybe I'll see you again. My phone number is on the back of the page you wrote about me. Call me sometime. Love, Anika. P.S. Throw away this note.
Akeem read the letter several times before shredding it into tiny scraps. But by then, all of Anika's words were etched in his memory, and he had the funny feeling that he might see her again one day.
This has been a Townsend Press production from the Bluefoot series of books, Blood is Thicker, written by Paul Langan and read by Jameel Gaines. This book was produced by Audiobright and features the music of Kenyon Whittington. For more information, visit our website at townsendpress.com.